why are you a Christian? Or, perhaps if you aren't one, why do you think people are Christians? Sometimes Christians are accused that they're only saved to be safe. That just in case there is an afterlife, they'll be fine, sort of like an insurance policy. They think through this table and conclude that you may as well be Christian. Is it up on the screen? Sorry, I can't tell. It's just not on the screen down there. If there isn't an afterlife, it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. And if there is an afterlife, well, you may as well be Christian. So for people who might think this way, it would seem that there is no real benefit for our current lives. It's all about the afterlife. It doesn't really have any place in the here and now. What Paul looks at, and what we're going to look at now, is how being a Christian really should be affecting our current lives, and how some of the amazing gifts that we've received by being justified through faith. Paul has been looking in the past chapter about how people are saved, that we are justified through faith, like Abraham was. Now he goes on to talk about how that justification, being made right with God, means that we can have peace with him. Verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Why do we need peace with God? Well, in Colossians 1:21 it says, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior." This verse talks about how we become enemies of God due to our evil behavior, our sins. But that later on it says that we are reconciled through the death of Christ. Paul early in Romans also says that we are no longer an enemy of God because our sins are no longer on record with him. Therefore, we are at peace with God. Although we may not always feel peaceful, God has given us a peace treaty signed with the blood of Jesus Christ that will never be broken. The peace we have with God, Paul says, is a fact, not just a feeling. In today's world, one thing people often seek is peace, and they look everywhere else other than in the gift that is offered freely through Jesus. We too can often become distracted, unhappy, and think that if we find some peace, we can find peace in things or people. Yet we know ultimately that's untrue. Perhaps this t-shirt sums it up well. He who dies with the most toys still dies. Paul tells us of this peace in Jesus, of the certainty of the promise. And because of that certainty, we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. In our day, hope can be a weak word. The hope in the Bible is not the uncertain, wishful thinking that we mean when we say, "I hope it doesn't rain," or "I hope I get this job." Biblical hope is a certain and fixed confidence. So Paul is saying, we rejoice in our certain expectation. We rejoice in our calm and confident assurance. Hope not with a question mark, but with an exclamation mark. Christians expect to one day stand in the presence of God's awesome glory. Paul goes further with this hope. So strong is the certainty of this hope that we can even rejoice in suffering. Not because suffering is to be rejoiced in, but because we have a relationship with God, we can look beyond suffering and realize that we can spiritually grow while suffering. The majority of people would think of suffering as all bad. We can see this in the frequently asked questions. What have I done to deserve this? And why is it always so hard? Yet Paul says in verses 3 and 4 that suffering produces perseverance, character, and hope. Think of it perhaps like an athlete in training, working out. He pushes through the agony of running day by day, of lifting weights heavier and heavier, so that his body will become more honed for the competition. When suffering comes to us, it is in our response that perseverance is developed. Secondly, suffering produces character. We become fit for God's use as a result of spiritual self-discipline. The way we respond to suffering can produce a testimony that can be used for God's glory and to comfort and encourage other Christians. Thirdly, suffering produces hope as we learn about the character of God. As we experience God's faithfulness to take us through trials time and time again. So what is the source of this hope? This hope that helps us persevere, this hope that allows us to rejoice, even in suffering. The hope that means that our Christian lives are not just an insurance kind of deal. Paul addresses this now and also touches on one of the greatest reasons for hope in the Bible. Read verse 6 with me again. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. The hope that we have has not been achieved easily, nor cheaply, and not before Jesus had to die on the cross. Jesus' death and resurrection are the source of our hope. This brings us to the question that was on the bulletin for today. Who would you die for? Paul says that Jesus died for us while we were at our worst, when we were powerless, sinners, and his enemies. That's amazing. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. Not after we had achieved some kind of self-improvement. Not after we had turned over a new leaf. Not after we could show some evidence that we were serious about God and religion. No. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us and gave this everlasting hope that we can be saved from God's wrath, that we can find peace with Him. And the hope that we have in this gift from Christ is a lasting hope. It's not something that will disappear the moment that we hurt Him through our actions again. Imagine a woman who works for an inner city shelter. Imagine that she befriended a drunk. Every day the drunk's body smells like a cross between rotten chicken and stale gin. More often than not, when she comes to the alley to talk to him, the drunk would abuse her with profane language and lewd suggestions. But as she is a compassionate person, she sticks with him. And suppose that with her help, he straightens up and flies right at last. Suppose he becomes a clean-shaven, sober man who successfully lands a job, and that he and her maintain regular close contact with each other. Now, what do you suppose would happen if here and then he backslides a bit? Suppose that sometimes after a stressful day on the job, he feels a bit surly and snaps at her when they meet for coffee. Finally, suppose that on such an occasion, he rather quickly puts his hand to his head, blushes in embarrassment and says, "I'm sorry for that. You hate me now, right? Don't want anything more to do with me." What would she say except, "For goodness sake, I cared deeply for you when you were nothing but a stinking foul-mouthed drunk. If I loved you then, why would I ever stop loving you now that you're a different person? I put up with nothing but abuse from you once upon a time. Why would you think a little lapse would make me dump you now?" That's pretty much Paul's point about God. While we were still at our worst, God was at his best. Through Jesus, he took his sin on himself when we were nothing but offensive to him in the most every way. Now, because of Jesus, we stand every day in his grace and love. And that's not all. We were reconciled, says verse 10. This means that we, who were once God's enemies, have now even become God's friends. How does this affect us now? How can we help assure the non-believers in ourselves that this isn't just an insurance policy? We need to know the hope, but we also need to show it. Because we are forever moving into an unknown future, we need hope to help keep us moving, lest we become stuck with a paralyzing fear of the future. Hope is God's gift to us in this broken world. It keeps us moving. I think of my own life. And at times I really worried. Would I pass exams? Will I get this job? Should I leave this job? Will my sermon go all right today? And each time I learn that God gets me through and I remember the hope he gives me. Of course, this hope can be complicated by the fact that we are rightly dissatisfied with our lives sometimes. We do have sins to confess every day. We can't be content with how things are going in the wider world or in our own lives. The trick, according to Romans 5, is to let this discontent fan our hope and not our fear. When we understand that we do not deserve God's love, we can begin to be secure in it. Because we cannot earn God's love, we cannot lose it. We saw in chapter 4 that Abraham was a saved man. How was Abraham saved? It wasn't by his heritage, ability, godliness, or any good works unique to him. He was saved by grace, through faith in the words and promises and character of God. He did have a different time perspective on the promises that we do today. He believed what God would do. Do we believe what God has done? Abraham looked forward and believed in Christ who would bring salvation through his seed. We can look back in history and believe in Christ who has completed the work of salvation. Do we believe in that completed work? Do you believe in the resurrection? Do you believe in your resurrection? Because of all these promises, we rejoice, writes Paul in verses 2, 3, and 11. Do we? I think that if we honestly answer that question, we would answer, sometimes we do not. But what better way to show people our hope than to rejoice? Why as Christians do we so often fail to rejoice? One reason may be that we don't fully trust God to do what he has promised. But each of us must remember what God has done in the past in our own lives and what we can see he has done in the Bible and live our life with joy, with the joy of salvation in our hearts. As you leave church and go into your lives, how will you rejoice in the hope of the glory of God? How will you prepare to rejoice in suffering? When a friend dies, when you fall into sin again, when you worry, when you are ridiculed in your belief of eternity. Make sure you think about how great the love and grace of God is, how he saved you while you're at your worst, and how he loves you eternally. Make sure you rejoice in the hope that is sure, that cannot be taken away. Rejoice in that hope, that certainty that Christ died for you, and because of that, if you follow him, you can be reconciled to God and have peace. Amen.